Welcome to another episode of the Last Post Radio Show podcast series. You can download it anytime and listen to anywhere. In keeping with our wish to have interesting guests on and also people that relate to important issues in society today, today we're lucky enough to be speaking with Brad Robinson, chairman of Carry On. Brad, how are you? And welcome to the podcast series.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here. And thank you very much for the invitation to speak to you and the people that are listening.
Thank you once again, Brad. And of course, in relation to our connection to the veteran community, you've got a history, obviously, I do believe 29 and a half years in the Army, various deployments around Australia and the world, and you finished up as a full colonel. How was that experience for you?
Greg, I thoroughly enjoyed my time in the military, and I think most, the far majority of the people who spend careers in the military actually look back fondly on their time. My 29 and a half years, I had various opportunities. I lived overseas. I deployed overseas. I travelled all over Australia. I met some of the most amazing people in the service and those connected to the service. It is a wonderful career option for young people. And I would say to anyone that, you know, don't believe that all of the press out there. It's actually a very good career. It's a great opportunity for you to develop skills, connect with other people, like-minded people, enjoy your youth, get out there and help the community and serve your country. So I think that's one thing that I think is we need to say to everyone that there are people doing having a difficult time at the moment, and we'll talk about some of those. But the far majority of people who have served don't actually have great trouble post their time in defence. But, you know, for those that do, we need to provide services and support to them.
Yes, and isn't that marvellous too, Brad, that you can relate such figures, because of course, as we know, most people that engage in transition from military to back to civilian life do so very well. But that doesn't allay us of the fears that we have for those small number that do suffer some difficulties. And of course, your service to the community through first the armed forces, the army and deployment is carried on. And of course, that's the appropriate term to use because your work now with Carry On in regards to homeless. What, Brad, is the reality of veteran homelessness? We hear a lot of talk about this, or perhaps we should be hearing more about it, but what is the reality?
The population of homeless veterans, it sits at approximately 6,500 within the Australian community. That's an estimate, mostly because most individuals who are homeless and are ex-serving don't want to be recognised as ex-serving. That's sometimes because of pride. They've served their country and they feel ashamed to identify with that group within society. And some others, it's just that want to separate their previous experience with defence and get on with what they're doing at the time, which is really a struggle for them. But it's important to recognise that we do have a population of veterans out there who are homeless who don't recognise publicly or through the system as being homeless.
Look, In my 14 years with The Last Post magazine, of course, and now the 12 months plus with The Last Post radio show, there has been, I've been lucky enough to interact with a lot of people that are caring and interested in this very issue. And of course, we speak about 6,500 approximately homeless veterans, Brad, and we understand that this is far too much. And the reasons, of course, perhaps the figures aren't more accurate or whatever, is because of the reasons that you just outlined. There is a certain amount of pride, there is a certain amount of wish to distance, etc. But regardless, these are alarming figures.
Oh, they are, Greg. And one of the key issues for me is that we're not actually talking enough about it. We hear fleeting viewpoints, or what I would say is a spotlight placed on homelessness broadly across the population on a semi-regular basis. Rarely is it focused on veterans, but when it is, it would be in the last 3 years I've seen one time where the politicians and media really focused in on the veteran homelessness issue. And veterans are twice as likely as the general population to be homeless. They're more likely to have mental health issues. They're more likely to be involved in domestic violence and issues associated with that. They're more likely to have financial and marriage issues. And all of these compound the problem. Actually, it creates a circumstance where these individuals find themselves on the street. And as I said, there's a growing number of veterans who are actually homeless. The cost of living is really biting at the moment. And we're actually seeing a lot more soldiers, sailors, and airmen couch surfing with their mates or sleeping in their cars. And that's a very sad circumstance. I think the majority of the Australian population would feel that that is absolutely unacceptable for a first world nation to have their veterans homeless.
Indeed, Brad, we're speaking with Brad Robinson, chairman of Carry On. Indeed, because of course, let's not muck about here. In a country as rich as Australia, it is quite a disgusting thing to realise. And as you say, and I know this has been the point of discussion many times with people looking after the homeless, that politicians, bless them, whatever, but there should be more constant attention to this very topic.
Yes, absolutely. In 2009, there was a study done across a number of nations, and they found that the homeless veteran community was growing and was a concern to all. One country, America, took it upon themselves to make it a massive issue. They went after that. They got all of the levels of government involved. They spent money, and they actually cut their veteran homeless population in half in a very short period of time. It just takes effort. It just takes the focus of those people with a responsibility to serve. So we've got these people who have served, and our politicians, our public servants, they've got a responsibility to serve back to that community to support them because, they spent time serving their nation and they shouldn't be forgotten.
Indeed, there is an obligation of gigantic proportions there to make sure. And of course, as we just heard from Brad, geez, knowingly growing the veterans' homelessness since at least 2009, but goes back way before that. Look, Brad, how are Carry On addressing this very important issue?
Thank you. Well, Carry On is 92 years since it was first founded by a number of ex-veterans from the Great War, identifying that their mates, their service friends in their area around Melbourne were actually struggling. And during that time, they decided that they would do kind acts of support to their veteran mates by just dropping in hampers or food or clothing or something like that, very quietly, not actually making a big deal about it. And that has stayed the core value of Carry On for the last 90 years, which is doing good by stealth. Unfortunately, doing good by stealth, it doesn't necessarily get the attention that is needed. So Carry On has established Veteran Housing in Australia, which is another part of the organisation. And our intent, so the last 40 years, we've been focused on housing. We are the only recognised and registered community housing provider in the country that is actually specific for veterans. There are a lot of organisations that talk to the point of homelessness, but they're not community housing providers. We are the only ones, which means we have access to a range of community housing more broadly. And we communicate with those organisations to look for best housing options for our veterans. We have approximately 100 homes in Victoria, and we're growing that connection to other homes across the country at the moment. So we're looking into Southeast Queensland at the moment and New South Wales. And there's a lot of interest and within the veteran community, our veteran support organisation community, to find a solution for this. But it really needs the government attention, local councils in the allocation of resources, land, and the like, and the state government in terms of their big build programs need to have an allocation of housing, not an allocation of funds, but a number of homes. And my frustration with a lot of what's been spoken about over the last few years is they talk about money. They don't talk about the quantity of homes that they're going to build. And for veterans, we know there's 6,500 veterans who are homeless. We need a few thousand homes. And that number should be the target. It shouldn't be that we will spend $1 million or $1 billion. It should say that we will build 10,000 homes or 20,000 homes for the community. And of those, 100, 200, 1,000 are for veterans. And that's my hope, that we would actually get to a point where we have a mature conversation.
Totally agree. And enough of the smokes and mirrors. Let's put a figure on how many houses we intend to build for veterans, because, of course, and just make it a bilateral thing in the sense that there can be no political gain from this, I guess, is the important thing too, Brad, because of course it doesn't matter who you vote for. If you're homeless, you're homeless, for heaven's sakes. And we do hope something is done. We're speaking with Brad Robinson, chairman of Carry On, 92 years old, not Brad, but Carry On, and just finding the best solutions and best housing options for veterans. And bless Carry On and the work they're doing. We'll be back in just a moment.
More soon on the Last Post Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Last Post Radio Show. You're with Greg T. Ross, speaking with Brad Robinson from Carry On. Brad, thanks again for being here with us to discuss such an important issue. Your work as a veteran, your work in the military, in defence, in the army, finishing as a full colonel. What are your personal reflections on all of this and beyond as a veteran?
A lot of the information that flows out from the veteran community around some of the worst scenarios that have occurred over the 125 years of our Defence Force aren't reflective of the broader organisation and the experience of most veterans who come out of the service. My experience is I transitioned in 2022 after 29 and a half years of service. I did numerous deployments to Timor, Afghanistan, the tsunami in Aceh, to Malaysia, and various other parts of Australia in response to cyclones and natural disasters. Mm. So my experience of serving my country, I'm very proud of my service. And I'm very proud of everyone who served with me and I commanded over that period of time. And the broad experience is positive, but there are people who fall through the gaps and they have quite horrendous experiences. And I think a lot of that vitriol that comes out of some of the groups that are outside of defence is through those people who have had quite traumatic experiences, but it's not necessarily the organisation itself. And there are experiences that people can have individually. You can't necessarily say every person in an organisation is 100% going to look after everybody. You hope that you can do that, but people will fall through the cracks. And I think when I look at some of the experiences I've had in terms of talking with veterans who have fallen through the gap, the organisation of the Department of Veteran Affairs is working very hard with Defence. And I actually will shout out to them. The work they've done in the last few years has been tremendous. They are working as hard as they can. They've changed a lot of the processes. They've tried to establish better systems for our veterans. And hopefully, fingers crossed, that will see a good change for our veterans in the coming years. But we've also got this many, many years of where we've had veterans who haven't necessarily had the best experience. So I had great experience. Most of my friends, most of my colleagues, a lot of the people who left the service when I was in command had the opportunity to actually transition in a very controlled, deliberate and what I would suggest is a safe way to ensure they could reconnect to community. But that's probably the main issue, is the connection when people leave the doors.
Yeah, well said too, Brad. And of course, you transitioned in 2022, as you said, after some life-saving work in Timor, Afghanistan, Malaysia, amongst others. is there an awareness of transition while in the force, Brad? I mean, do they teach people about this or?
There are programs that support veterans as they go towards transition. It's really those people who transition happens suddenly, which are the areas of concern. So a person who is injured, like serious injury, which will mean they won't be able to continue in defence, which does happen. My fingers are crossed for those young people who are in the rollover in Lismore, that none of them will suffer a serious injury to the point where they cannot continue in their chosen profession. But it does happen. And there's also the people who, for discipline reasons, for mental health reasons, who do transition quite suddenly. And during that period, sometimes there's just not necessarily the lined up services and supports to ensure that they understand exactly their entitlements and what happens. And I think that's been the area of focus for defence over the last few years, especially after the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide.
Yes, indeed. And I did attend a few of those hearings and have spoken about that numerous times. I think the first time I got wind of that happening was a couple of years before it actually happened, and certainly very, very important. So thanks for bringing that up again too, of course, Brad. Look, there is a stigma attached to asking for help. I suppose in a general sense, Brad, Australians themselves are not great at asking for support, but how is it extra hard for a veteran, do you think, to get their head around needing support?
Yeah, I think it comes back to the earlier comment about the pride that a person holds in terms of being able to be not dependent on others. You know, I was a Defence Force member. You know, I served my country. I serve it. I don't ask for its help. And that feeling of failure and that loss of self-esteem drives really into the heart of the issue when soldiers and sailors and airmen are looking for the ways to help themselves get out of a situation. It is tremendously hard for them to walk into a door, through a door, and discuss their problems, how they got themselves into a particular situation. So I think that will always be there. And that's why ex-service organisations are so important, because they're run by people who have had service, that lived experience, that important aspect that a service person can talk about and feel that they understand where they're coming from, and that the services that they're offering will actually be given to them rather than them be pushed away or turned away at the door.
Indeed, Brad Robertson, indeed. And I think you've just hit on another thing there, obviously, with the community support. One of the great things about, and partnerships, and indeed the last post has been working on this very issue since we started in 2011, but it's about the power of community support and partnerships. And I guess one of the great things about Carry On with Veteran Experience is also being able to reach out to the wider community. How important is that?
It is very important, especially in the community housing space. There are many, many organisations that provide community housing to the population. Carry On is not looking at trying to control all housing or provide all housing to all veterans. We are the only community housing provider for veterans. But what we want to do is actually have community housing organisations reach out to us and let us know if they've got homes that they would make available to our veterans. And if they do, then we will focus a veteran towards that housing. So we want to be the point, the organisation that veterans reach out to. And then we want to have all these community housing providers around the country who have houses that they are willing to provide for veterans on a list, so that wherever that veteran is, we can find housing for them rather than them having to move states. You know, we've had veterans move from Cairns to Melbourne just to get a roof over their heads. It would be much better if we had housing closer to their supports and their families, especially if it's a situation where that member has separated from their partner and there's kids involved.
It's heartbreaking when you think about, of course, with the social networks, we speak all about social media and all that sort of stuff and your friends on certain platforms, but by golly me, social networks in the real sense of people being there to assist. And if you're having to move to make that help accessible, it's not a good reflection, is it, Brad?
No, it's not. And also that new place you go to doesn't necessarily understand where you've come from or whether or not you're in a good place. And we have lost veterans in our homes. Sadly, they tend to be at their lowest points when we have them come to our homes. We don't provide, we don't require any prerequisites for our homes. They could have no rental history. They could have a terrible rental history. They could be addicted to substances, or they could be out of a very violent relationship. But we don't stop them being given a roof over their heads, because the real issue with homelessness is housing. And if you fix the housing issue, you can then go and concentrate on all those other things that are actually keeping the veteran homeless. So, you know, a person who is drug addicted, if you say you have to get off your drugs before you can get a home, they're on the street. They're right next to all the drug dealers. They're not going to get off the drugs.
Mm.
So the idea for us, we get them the house first, and then we deal with all the issues associated with that.
Ah, that's quite a revealing modus operandi, because, of course, I would suspect, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would suspect that would be a better way of doing things, in the sense, Brad Robinson, that veterans would feel better and more confident once in a home or a house.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, once the security is one of the major factors in why people are actually drug addicted. You know, being helpless and vulnerable on the streets, they mm-hmm. tend to move towards crime. They move towards drug addiction or alcohol addiction, because it's a way of coping with the terrible circumstance they're in. So if you can move them away from that and put a secure roof over their home, so they're not always over their head, so they're not always looking over their shoulder, then you can actually start to deal with the more important issues, which is those things that have created the perpetual motion of them being on the streets and vulnerable and not dealing with the problems associated with their service and other things. So I think that's the major issue, is housing. And we use what is known globally as the housing first model. Mm-hmm. And not many organizations in Australia use that to its true design, which is no matter what the person's circumstance, you provide them a home, and then, you know, you have to deal with what comes with that. But honestly, that's a minority of people actually abuse that. Majority of them, it's like their castle. They love it. They want to look after it. They are so proud of the fact that they actually can call somewhere home, and they can get on with their lives.
How beautiful. How beautiful. And you use that terminology, the castle, and that can many Australians relate to that, of course. How absolutely beautiful. With the Housing First model, which, if we're looking at intelligent ways to go about combating veteran homelessness, to me at least, and to many others, including yourselves, obviously, the way to go. The call to action, Brad, I guess, what can people do? What would you advise listeners to do in helping directing veterans to the right outcome?
The main thing from our perspective is if you know of a veteran who is homeless, they may not view themselves as homeless, but they don't have secure accommodation. If they are moving about a lot, even if you feel that they might be close to potentially losing their home, so they're vulnerable of losing their rental accommodation, then please reach out to Veteran Housing Australia or point them in the direction of Veteran Housing Australia. That is veteranhousing.org.au. It is found on the website, on that website, and that is the portal that we're using to understand where all our homeless veterans are. And we use that as a way and means to actually then connect with people close to where that veteran is to try to establish housing for them, either emergency housing, temporary or transitional housing, or permanent housing. And they are all very different. You know, we have emergency housing for crisis, what we call crisis accommodation, for people who have suffered domestic violence, both the veteran or the family. So we do not differentiate. So we will provide housing to both. We have transitional housing for people who temporarily find themselves homeless. And then we look for permanent housing, which is something where we will provide them with a home. They will be able to contribute to the rent of that at whatever capacity they can. And then if they wish to, they can transition out to other accommodation in the future, or they stay with us if their circumstances don't improve to the point where they can effectively rent at a commercial basis.
Yes, well, visit that website. Listeners, visit that website, veteranhousing.org.au. And to communities out there, to community groups, if you know of a community group or you know of the homes that could be made available to veterans, for heaven's sake, please visit the website and veteranhousing.org.au. Carry on, Veteran Housing, providing emergency housing, long-term housing, and transitional housing for veterans, doing a marvellous job. And it's been the Last Post Radio Show's great pleasure in speaking with a topic that has to be addressed. And let's do this more often, Bradley, because I don't want to drop the ball on this. We need to keep this going.
Greg, that'll be fantastic. And I do ask that if you are passing by a person on the street who is homeless, please just, even if it's just a smile, it doesn't matter. You don't know the circumstances that have led to them being on the street, and one of them may have been a veteran. So thank you.
Well said, Bradley Robinson, Chairman of Carry On, doing their utmost over their 92-year history, 92 years history, amazing stuff to help veterans that are undergoing great problems. I don't know what more to say, Bradley Robinson, except thank you very much for being part of the show, and we hope to have you on again.
I would love that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Greg.